Verse 4, we know that the Lord is able to make us stand. Well, there we go, huh? It fits the song exactly. We know that he is able to make us stand because, verse 9, he is Lord. That to the sin Christ both died and was buried and rose again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. You don't make Jesus Lord. Jesus proved he was Lord and he rose from the dead, and God the Father authenticated it and sent his Holy Spirit into the world for us. And nobody can confess he is Lord except by the Spirit. Verse 10 and 12, we stand on a promise that each is judged by God, that we will each be judged fairly by God, will each be judged based on our standing with the Lord Jesus. Verse 13, we know that not to despise or to criticize, it's interesting, anymore. It's just assumed, you know, that these new Christians and people who are believers do. And we got to stop it. Don't do it anymore. Something that we know. Another thing we know is that things are, in verse 14, things are amoral. You know, guns, money, musical instruments. They're things, and they have no, they're not moral or immoral. It's what we do with them. And so that's something that we know. Another thing we know we can stand a promise is that we should not create confusion about things. In verse 15, destroy not him with your choices. In verse 17, the kingdom is not things, but this kingdom is a spiritual entity. And then we know, verse 23, whatever is not of faith is sin. And so these are promises, these are assurances that we have that we can stand on. The title of, let's read, I want to read three places in Romans 14. I read the whole chapter, but it's been weeks. Last time I was here, and I wanted to thank Frank and Pastor Wieldhaus for excellent teaching and exhortations that they gave. I have been applying since then. In Romans 14:1, it says, accept one another, accept the weak, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. We are to receive one another. And then in chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. You mean that's not the end game? For each of us, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might find hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, and that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One accord, one voice. That we are in a relationship with each other. Today the message title is Relationships That Matter, Matter. Relationships that matter. We have all kinds of relationships, but there are relationships. Our relationship to Jesus, first of all, matters most of all. Amen? In chapter 14, verse 9, it says, all these other relationships only stay afloat because the Lordship is our flagship. That we are in formation with the Lordship of Christ. And so relationships that matter, matter. I announce that I have a relationship that matters. Started mattering 39 years ago a lot. It mattered some before then, but it started mattering a lot 39 years ago yesterday. And it's only right that those relationships that matter, matter. Amen, Melissa? I'll get one anyway. And so when our relationships are in order, there will be, it matters that there's order. When there's disorder, that will affect the relationship. There are principles and there are problems in relationships. And so I want to introduce a principle of hermeneutics. I guess it's one that I've invented. I told my wife I wanted to write an introductory to theology and to doctrine, I think, and show that this one principle of interpretation, that's what I want you to grab hold of, not hermeneutics. But I had to show that I went to school. You know, but the principle hermeneutics is interpreting, and the principle of interpretation, and the principle that I'm introducing is the principle of Alpha and Omega. That if every doctrine in the Bible, since I've noticed this, that can be will be best applied if we apply first the principle of Alpha and Omega. Whether we're talking about the doctrine of salvation or the doctrine of man, these principles of things that we don't understand, it's to put the thing that we do know. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. And by Alpha, he's not only first, but he's the Alpha brother, right? You know, the Alpha, he is the one who is the principal one. So this principle of interpretation helps us with our understanding. And of course, we want to say here, what? It takes the whole Bible to make a whole disciple. Every week I'll say this, we'll really get it. One time we were at the Nichols Church, the first year that we were there, they had a Nichols Day at the park, and the church had a tent that they set up. And in the church tent, they had ministry things to bring people in to share what? The gospel. Not to share the church. I mean, it's nice to have the church's presence there, but what's the church's presence for? You know, what are we here for? Last week I wasn't here because I was learning what we're here for. We're here for the gospel. It was Don Sunshine's ministry on how to turn every conversation toward a spiritual conversation and at least introduce Christ, the reason for being, right? So anyway, we had to set up, and the man come, taking the whole Bible to make a whole disciple. A man stops, and he comes inside, and he looks, and there's a big Bible there and a lot of little Bibles. We were giving away Bibles, of course. And the man looks at the Bible, he picks it up, and he says, I'm standing there, and he says, this is a hard book to understand. He goes, it's a big book. And he repeated it. And he goes, it's hard to understand. And then he goes, I don't think you can understand it. And then I'm standing there, you know, like, what do you say? And then I'm like, you know what? It says in this book that it's impossible to understand without the Spirit of God and guidance. And if you start in the wrong place, you'll end in the wrong place. And this book begins with God creating man, and it begins with, and then man's fall, and then the New Testament begins with Jesus coming to redeem man, to make it, put us back in order. And 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And so I told him that, and I said, that's evidence that you need Christ. And that's pretty much as far as we got. But the point is that relationships need to be interpreted, and relationships, when things happen in our life, in our relationships, and as we're here, we're part of a relationship, is this helps us understand Romans 14, helps us understand, is this an interruption or an intention? And my point with this message is relationships that matter is that all relationships matter to God. All relationships matter to Christ. There are every single person that we come in contact in some way, God has orchestrated that, right? And so what do we do with it? And so we want to make sure that we realize that relationships matter, and that if we see relationships as an interruption, then we'll experience disappointment, right? And then what we do. But from last time I was here, you probably can't remember, it was so long ago from this passage. But the two things that Paul says that sinks a relationship. Do you remember what they were? Despising and criticizing. One, you know, so if you call me up and say you're coming over, or I stop at your house, you know, how we view each other as an interruption, a disappointment with, you know, of my time, or as an intentional appointment with God or with Christ. So that's the Alpha and Omega principle. With Jesus first, Jesus is the end of the matter also. He's the end run. He's the last and most important thing. When Jesus is first, we uncover that every relationship matters to God, because they're always with a purpose, and God is always working for us to edify one another. God brings us into contact with each other so that we can build one another up. And we have, from this passage I've already read, is that we have to realize that we can get together not for the better, but for the worse, right? When we take communion, we're always reminded of that. There's a church, highly gifted church. It's like this church, it's amazing. You know, there's a half a dozen people who can almost stand up and teach a lesson and preach God's word. Highly gifted church, the Corinthian church was. But they were a divided church. And they forgot that they were there to edify one another, not to, you know, they weren't gifted to I'm not gifted to enjoy my gift. We're gifted to give our gift that God gifts through us. So every relationship matters to God. And so the first principle is, and it's first in order, is that we come together to take orders, not to give orders, right? Then here they were to receive one another, and they come together and they receive orders, and they edify one another and build one another up by fulfilling their orders. We are created actually for relationships, and that's the order of things. Again, the Alpha and Omega. That in the beginning, when God decided to create, He gives us clues about why He decided to create. That God is, the Trinity is in perfect harmony with each other, and they discuss this, and their love for each other, they wanted to what? Multiply. And so they created man to love and to experience His love and to have a relationship with. So this relationship matters to God, because we are created for relationship, and the order is a reflection of the perfection in the Godhead. And so when we're in the church, you know, that's why in Ephesians 5, when it talks about the husband and wife being a profound mystery and a picture of the church, it's a picture of this very thing, the perfection within the Godhead. And it's why it's so important to guard. And then also, this order not only is a reflection of the perfection in the Godhead, but it's a magnification of the one another principle found throughout the Bible. Two weeks ago, when Frank was here, he went through a list of one another's with you, an abbreviated list, and exhorted us that there is many more to be found, and that we need to be plugged into these things, because relationships matter. And the relationships that matter, matter, right? It matters that we know how to keep our ship afloat, if you will. We're better together. And the thing that we say at the end of the sermon, That was the last thing that Melissa and I said in our wedding vows. She said some nice things to me, and I said some nicer things to her. Melissa, you are my best earthly friend. I promise to love and protect you, to provide for you. I promise to be obedient to those instructions which Christ has given in his gospel. As long as God shall give me life. From this day forward, let us some things together and find our favorite places and go there together. And then we joined in and said, Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." It's our marching orders, and it's our marching orders as Christians that we have the opportunity to magnify the perfections of God in this one another principle. We are better together. The opposite of that is disorder. In Proverbs 18, verse 1, it says, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire and quarrels against all sound wisdom." Listen, isolation and insulation when you're hurt is not what you need. And listen, for us, look around. There are people who are isolating and insulating. They're not here. And we know that's not the answer, right? We also know that the answer is not to criticize or despise. The answer is to recognize. Where are they? Because it matters. It matters because it matters to Jesus. He is Lord of the church, and together we are better. And so when we reach out to people, if we reach out to people that way, we'll have a much better chance of reeling them back in. Disorder puts a hole in a relationship. Isolation, insulation. We think we're doing it for our own good sometimes, but it's sinking the ship. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, "Let's not forsake the assembly of ourselves together like some people are doing." He said, there are people who are sinking the ship. Be careful. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, when it speaks to the churches, it says, we all have a light. And he says, if you don't shine your light, what could happen? He could remove your light. Israel was to be a light to the nations. They didn't shine their light. And so God removed them for this time, but he never leaves himself without a witness. So every relationship matters to God because he always has a purpose. He is always seeking to reveal himself. Romans 14, the Alpha and the Omega of relationships is really centered in the relationship to Christ as Lord and Judge. In verse 9, "For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." If that's the case, if you know that you're going to stand before him and that how well you received orders and followed them, why would you judge your brother, verse 10? Or again, why would you regard your brother with contempt? Why would you despise? Why would you criticize when you know that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ? I know not a lot of things we sang about, but I do know this thing, that I'm going to give an answer for all those things I talked about that I don't know, as if I knew. That's a heavier statement than you think. We are responsible for this ship, for our relationship to each other. We're responsible to open up our hearts, to open up our mouths, not to gossip or talk about things, as I just mentioned, we don't know, but to say what we do know. We do belong together. You can tell your other church members and each other, you know, you belong here. Yeah, I care because you belong. You're part of me. We are all members one of another. Lie not one to another, the scripture says. So there's, for relationship to stay afloat, there always has to be order. All relationships matter to God, but not all relationships are always in order. So to be in order, we have to first and foremost understand our relationship to the Lordship, and that's the relationship that matters first and foremost. The second interpretation of our relationships is discipleship. These are all ships, you know. We want to keep them all afloat. But the discipleship, the Alpha Omega principle to discipleship, is we first of all, we relate to Him as Lord. It answers the question to why you are where you are. Why are you here today? You're here today because, you know, hopefully you're here today because you want to be, but you're here today because you're commanded to be too. And, you know, when we look around, there are people who aren't here today. We need to remind them that that's, you can't be in the Lordship and you be in charge. You can't be in the Lordship and decide if you're sailing. Like Israel, the cloud and the, it says that thing parked for 15 minutes. They parked as if they were going to camp for life. If it moved in 15 minutes, they moved as if they're going to walk for life, whether it be short or long. He is Lord. He is guiding in all relationships. It's very important because it matters. It matters to God. I have a lot of things that I skipped there. It matters to God where you are, because where you are matters to God, because it's a matter of discipleship. He is making you. Well, you know, what is a disciple? Why do we come to church? What this is a disciple making place. We ought to be making disciples. That's why it says we build one another up. We do all the one another's. It's part of discipleship. It matters to God where you are because God is making disciples. He is making you. Now, I'm not picking on you. He is making you. You can fold your arms and say, "Make me." People do that to God. Or you can open your arms and say, "Here I am." But God is making you. And if you fold your arms, he's still making you. And what he's going to do is he's going to bring a lot of sandpaper and chisels in there. A lot of things that are uncomfortable. And you'll think, well, you know, the guy who sits beside me, he's got a sandpaper personality. He's got what you need then. God has put you there for a purpose. It's what it means to be discipled. It's for such a time as this. You are here to brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. You need to shine where you're at. I mean, we've mentioned this a lot lately, but it's easy to look like super bright, high halogen, million candle watt lights in the country, in the environment that we live in now, when all we are maybe is like a little match. You couldn't even, you know, when in a bright sunshiny day, you can't even tell the halogen light's on. But where we live today, we don't have to be real bright, right? You say, obviously not. You're up front. Brighten the corner where you are. Or the point, don't make him make you. You get it? He is making disciples. Make me, Lord. Don't do that. In Psalm 50 or Psalm 32, David said there was a time when he was doing that. He said to sin with Bathsheba, he was covering it up, and then when he repented, he said, "How happy is the man whose sins are forgiven? How happy is the man whose transgressions are removed?" And then he said, "Hey, you guys, don't be like I was." And how was he? He said, don't be, God said, don't be like the mule or the horse that needs to be steered like this. God says, I have my eye on you. Put your eye on me. Look to me, and I'll give you the nod. Come on in. Go on out. Do this, do that. Don't make me jerk you around like this. It won't be pleasant. And then people like, you know, and then they don't like coming to church because we're over there. We don't have it in order, our relationship in order. We don't start with the Lordship. We start with, well, our preconceived idea of fellowship, where it's fun and we just feel good together. And then what happens then if we don't feel good together? Well, then we just don't be together. Because feel good is the end goal, right? No. Not if we have a relationship in order. It's the Lordship. Christ is the Lord of all. It matters to God where you are. It matters to Him why you are where you are. He is making disciples of you for such a time as this. You know, do you ever wonder why the grass is always greener under everybody else's sky? But right here, right now, in this time and place, you can be a mirror of His mercy. A light shining His grace. We can't change what's happened till now, but we can change what will be by living in holiness that the world might see Jesus in me. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do His will. Whatever it is. You know, people say that they, you know, they can worship God on the lake. You know, it really is a good feeling. And I have lots of great feelings out there in the creation. The creation is pouring forth the testimony of God. So it's real. The creation speaks. But how clearly it speaks is not as clear as the Word of God. And Sunday morning, can I worship God as good out there as I can in here? No. It doesn't matter how good it makes you feel because you're not in the Lordship. Jesus said that you're supposed to be here, together, magnifying Him together. Not just receiving one another, bearing one another's burdens. That's carrying them. But that's kind of cool, huh? Noble, bearing one another's burdens. I got under this with you. But how about this one? Bear with one another. Yeah. When you know, that when you just plain have to put up with the person. Why? Because the relationship that matters first and foremost is the Lordship. That's being right with Jesus. Maybe you're their sandpaper. They certainly are yours, right? Romans 14, there's so much that we do not know, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't hinder us from the mission. The mission of the relationship with the Lordship of Christ is we're on a mission to make disciples. We can't make Christians, right? But we just share the gospel and Christians are born. But disciples are made. And we're told to make disciples. And what is making disciples? It's teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Making them disciples starts with verse 18 of chapter 28. And right here in Romans 14, it starts again with the Lordship of Christ, the Alpha and Omega. It's recognized that He is who He claimed. When we witness, you know, the easiest, you know, to witness to people is we have to realize it's all about sharing Jesus. It's not about like sharing the gospel. Like, well, there, I dumped that load on them and got it off my responsibility. I told them they were sinners. You know that we are telling them, we tell them there's a Savior, and of course then they, you and that'd be a good thing. You know, like, so why do you think Jesus came? He said He made a claim that He's the Savior of the world. What do you think the world needs to be saved for? And then they need to be saved from they'll lead themselves into it. You know, then you set the hook or whatever. They step into their own trap. What we don't know does not matter because it does not hinder our mission. Our mission is to enjoy the grace of God. That's part of what we come here together for, right? We sing the songs and stuff. Get a good feeling enjoying the grace of God. What God has done for me. But we do that to extend the glory of God. And we do that by trusting and obeying. The mission is trusting and obeying. It's revealing the Father. You know, to be progressive. Everybody wants to be progressive, right? Not in this crowd, huh? To be progressive, you know, is to be Christian. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Paul said, it's not enough. Or Peter said, yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1, Paul said, you were all supposed to go like this and wake me up. Peter said that making disciples is step by step. It's stages. You're not born again at the well-developed stage of keeping yourself in the love of God and loving other people, and in no matter how awful they treat you. That's a progress. And we come together, and we encourage and instruct one another. We are here to make disciples. We are here to be molded into disciples. So what matters? Him, Jesus, the gospel, discipleship relationships, that we forward the grace of God, that we magnify Jesus in all that we say and do. So the Alpha and Omega of our relationship with one another is the relationship that matters is our relationship to the Lordship of Christ. It gives us understanding as to why you are where you are. And it's very important because it matters so much to God. First things first. That's where it first belongs, right? It's not as much rocket science as I've been making it. It's just the way that things are. We are better together when we have things in the proper order. Everybody knows it's not always better together, right? My wife doesn't know, but she always thinks that we're better together. Sometimes it's not, and why not? Wrong sequence. If you get things out of order, then what happens? If Christ isn't first, the Lordship, then what? Then it's me first. And what's that do to a relationship? Anybody here ever been in a relationship? You know what that does to the relationship. I don't need to say any more about that. So in a relationship, it's first Jesus, the Lord, that we are right in the Lordship. Then it's the discipleship, that we're right together. It's us together. And then in worship, it's Jesus and us together. And we are, again, better together. And so rightly remembering this is the charge of this in Romans, is first to remember. The first thing we remember is that I think about me by nature. Me by nature what? Me by nature is lost. I am going to hell. If you're here and that's just, you don't have a relationship with Jesus as Lord, that you have never recognized that thy will be done, that in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. But it's worse than that. We didn't just wander off. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him what? The iniquity of us all. What is our iniquity? Help me. It's my own way. What is your iniquity? It's my own way. What is our iniquity? Instead of the relationship of the Lord first, it's me first. And we can turn around. How far do you got to be far away from God? How far do you got to be far away from the church? All you got to do is turn your back on it. And that is the danger that we are in. And so the first way, the rightly to be right in worship, to be right in fellowship, for us to be better together, not to be together for the worse, is to, first of all, I must repent of my nature, me, of me first. I must have done that one time to get saved and get in a relationship with God, but I need to do that. Everybody hear that? I got, you know, the Pentecostals say, do I got a witness? And I said, I need to do that, for those of you who didn't hear, I need to do that, what, and my wife said, all the time. I need to do that all the time. Exactly. We need to turn our back on ourselves. That's what discipleship is, right? Amen? What did Jesus say? You cannot be a disciple except you deny yourself, take up your cross, and die daily. When you do that, then your relationship to other people does what? Blossoms, because there's room for them. The second thing is to remember that is faith. Repent my nature to remember faith is his claim. Who does he claim to be? Jesus claims to be the King of Kings. He claims to be God. He claims to be the Creator. He claims to be a Savior. And by faith, we embrace that. We say, I need a Savior. You are the only one. Therefore, when we worship, first we bow down, right? First we bow down. Then we lift our hands. First we bow down because we're broken in our hearts, or the part that we see, the me. We lift our hands because we've been made holy by him. So the scriptures say, lift up holy hands. And a lot of people, like me, always sat like this because, boy, that's a scary idea to think that, you know, if I lift my hands, then I'm implying these are holy hands. They are, right? If he made them that way. If I first turned my back on me, put my faith in him, and he made me. Together we are better when we remember that we are part. We're not the whole. It's not about us. We're not the whole. We're not even the hub. It doesn't circle around us. We circle around it. The relationship to Christ as Lord. And we long for the whole. One body, many parts. Therefore, in Romans 14, in the Lordship together, we are experiencing discipleship. We're experiencing worship because disciples know God is faithful and disciples want to be faithful to him. Disciples also know that they don't know some things. And it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what I don't know about you, your motives. So relationships matter, and the order on the ship matters. Together we are better when we are committed to discipleship, to worshiping him. It's when we have things in order and things right. With Jesus first, we're better together. But without Jesus or me first, we are worse off. And you know what the biggest problem with the church is? Me. You know, it starts with me first. The biggest problem in the church is me first. It's all been answered right here in Romans 14 and 15. Again, we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of those who are weak, and let us not please ourselves, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it was written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Father, we thank you. We stand in awe of you, that you would want to receive us. We stand in awe of you, Lord Jesus, that you would give yourself for us, and that not only would you give yourself for us, that we would be holy and that we would be able to lift up holy hands, but you have given us the revelation of the Father, that God wants to receive us, but it's on your terms. And I pray, Father, that you work today, that someone will hear, someone will realize, if they're not on your terms, that they have been trying to hold the keys. And we pray, Father, that each one here today will make that commitment to the relationship to Jesus as Lord, and the relationship of one another as disciples, that we will be building one another up, that we will be receiving one another, that we will be exhorting one another. And the relation, that relationship will result in worship, that the Father seeks those who worship Him. But we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, that might be the truth about ourselves, that the me first mentality has destroyed the relationship. And the Spirit, that you have given us your Son, we commit ourselves to these things and pray that our worship will be acceptable to you, because you are first. In Jesus' name, amen.